Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 14th day of May, year 2023. I'm your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is They Are All Drunk. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. I would say Prinhonda, but I don't pronounce it quite like the folks over yonder do, and Cumriambeth. But I give it my best shot. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces, just pastordan.net. And we do draw your attention to the Daily Mail page where we have updates and news items, even medical information, etc. There is also a home page, which is the very first page. And that is where you find out how to help us out with a donation, if you feel led to do so. If you wish to contact me and don't have my personal contact information, at that website there is a Contact Us page, and you can use that, and I will get the message. Remember that the will of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, will never take you where the grace of Yahweh will not protect you. A lot of our people are in a state of fear and anxiety today like I've never seen in my lifetime, and that's partly for the reason of the title today. They are all drunk because we call them zombies, but if you look at their behavior, they act as drunkards. So we're going to talk about the state of our nation as far as the people, our race. And we are going to talk about our ladies today somewhat, since it is traditionally, anyway, Mother's Day. So I don't expect it to be around much longer, since we're in a dystopic world. The woke folks will do everything they can to get rid of that one, I'm sure. And again, one of my favorite quotes, Richard Buckminster Fuller, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. And I might add, if you check the scriptures, it does not tell us to save Babylon. Babylon is going to burn to the ground. You can see it. It's already starting to happen. Nothing in there says we're supposed to save Babylon. We're supposed to save ourselves. We're supposed to survive. We're supposed to come out on the other end of this thing. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. This world is obsolete. These automatons, these cretins, these miscreants that run this dystopic world, they are obsolete. All we have to do is maintain ourselves in a rightful position according to our Heavenly Father. In other words, reflect His values within us and among ourselves, and we make this old model obsolete. And those who come to repentance, those who wish to get back to a, quote, normal existence, meaning righteous existence, they will see our light shining on the hill. Now, a lot of these fake, phony imposters like George Bush Sr. alluded to biblical references like the shining lights on the hill, but he was talking about these Luciferian demagogues, these so-called elitists that think they should be our lords and masters. He was talking about them. So they make contradictions like that all the time because they are full of themselves. In fact, their vanity will be part of their undoing. It says so in Scripture. And you can see that happening. They are so vain, so full of themselves, so ludicrous in the things they're doing and saying that even normies are starting to see it. Even some of the liberals are disgusted with what's going on. So that tells you the state of affairs. So is it a dystopic world? Yeah, sure as hell is. I mean, you'd have to be completely brain dead not to see that. But we are here, this program anyway, we're going to discuss the state of affairs, but also the positive side of things, which is the awakening that's going on. Things are so dystopic that many people are starting to, quote, repent, which means rethink. Okay, they're starting to rethink their priorities, rethink whether this world is really something we should chase after, which, of course, these scriptures I'm going to read are going to show you that that's never been our job, to chase after worldly things. We are to chase after our Father first, and then each other in a family matter, in a natural way, not this unnatural thing that has grown up around us. And we were taught, all of us, in our age bracket, because the ones that weren't taught that have already passed over. But all of us alive today were taught from the time we were infants to chase after the world. I can remember as a young boy, well, you want to borrow money and get good credit. What? What? Good credit? Why? What happened to save up your money in a can or a box and have it buried in the backyard, and when you got enough, you go buy what you were saving up for? Oh, that's right, because inflation eats away the value of your savings. That's done on purpose, in case you haven't figured it out. You see, a righteous government would set up a stable currency that you could save money for the next 100 years, and it would buy exactly the same thing 100 years later, just like gold and silver. Gold and silver, per the Constitution, is the only legitimate currency. The only legitimate store of value. Why? And we've talked about this many times. A $20 gold piece 100 years ago would buy a very well-made tailored suit for a young man. $20 gold piece, okay? Today, a $20 gold piece, 150 years later, a $20 gold piece will do the same thing. But your paper dollars, your electronic shekels that the Jews have given us, wouldn't even come close, wouldn't even buy hardly the socks in that wardrobe. And yet a $20 gold piece would buy the whole thing. And a very nice suit, by the way. Okay, so there is your best example of why the Bible refers to precious metals and jewels as a store of value, because they don't inflate. And why Roger Sherman and the rest of the founding fathers put it in your Constitution that nothing but gold and silver would be used for the payment of debt. Now, let that sink in, what I just said. Roger Sherman, who came up with the wording of that section of the Constitution, and he wrote a little book about it. It's an excellent little book of why you have precious metal based currency, because inflation is a form of taxation. It is also a form of theft. Now, the question is, how is it that you have people that take an oath to uphold the Constitution? They're called public servants. How is it they take that oath and yet you don't have constitutional money? You haven't had constitutional money for quite some time, because the bankers want to inflate. That's how the Jew takes over. I mean, it's so damn simple. Why in the hell people can't figure this out? I don't know. Or is it we're just in a state of denial because most of our people are cowards today? They really are. Or, as I said in the title, they're all drunk. And when I get to the definitions of drunkenness, you'll understand why I say that. So they're either cowards or drunk, or in some cases, both. Okay? This was taken off of Telegram. a channel called Rabble Rouser. Any act, talking about public servants now, any act which dishonors your oath of office immediately and irrevocably vacates that office and destroys your immunity from prosecution. Now, what prosecution? The courts? Hell no, the courts are owned by these bastards. Prosecution by our courts, the courts of the people. Biblical courts, tribunals with judges, just as it's described in the Bible. And it's our job as the people of the county, or the shire, if you go back to Old England, the shire, we are to select our judges based on merit, just as they did in the biblical days. Why? Because the sanctity of justice depends on the decisions of your judges, the tribunals, your judges. So the judges have to be way above the average person in intellect, in righteousness, in biblical knowledge, in soundness of mind, and impartiality. They have to be stellar individuals, stellar, and they have to be men. Sorry, ladies, that's our job, okay? And again, on Mother's Day, we honor mothers because none of us would be here without mothers. And in the future, they will bear the children and raise the children properly that will build the pristine world that will come from the ashes of the one that's burning in front of us now. So we honor mothers, but it's not your job to be judges. Why? Because men are more rational. And I'm talking about the stellar men now, not all men. There's men out there stupider and more emotional than women. Okay? There's men out there I wouldn't give the time of day to. I'm not talking about all men just because they're men get to be the judges or leaders of our people. No, the stellar men, the King David types, the Joshua types, the Abraham types, those who seek Yahshua, those who seek to emulate Yahweh in the flesh, his thoughts, his law is on their minds like King David all the time, morning, noon, and night. That's the kind of guys. When you have those kind of guys up there, they can't be bought. They can't be bribed. They cannot be intimidated. They are what? Rhadamanthine. Remember, we talked about that word a long time ago. Rhadamanthine, R-H-A-D, that's how it's spelled, Rhadamanthine, T-H-I-N-E. Rhadamanthine, look it up, comes from the Greek language. It means to be strictly and uncompromisingly just. You want justice in this world, then get Rhadamanthine men and put them in charge again. Well, how do you do that, Dan? They control it. Yeah, they control it, but they don't control you. They don't control who you give your allegiance to. They don't control who you think about, who you respect. They don't control who you will give your time to, who you will give your money to. You control those things. Give it to Rhadamanthine men, and especially you young men at arms. Give your strength, your fighting ability to the Rhadamanthine men amongst our people instead of the enemy. For a handful, not even a handful now, it's ledger entries, electronic ledger entries of electronic shekels. You're laying down your life. You're attacking honest men and women at the behest of the Antichrist. Doesn't say much for your future, guys, and sometimes gals in uniform out there. Doesn't say much for you. You're taking orders from the Antichrist, and you're doing the work of the devil, adversary, diablos, whatever you want to call it. Okay? That's what you're doing. Isaiah 5:20 talks about this time when it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light," meaning ignorance for knowledge, "and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." In other words, everything's upside down, 180 degrees out. Yep, that's what it is. I get emails and phone calls every single day confirming that that's the world we live in. It is truly upside down. Now, when it tells us to revere our Father, the dictionary definition is regard with feelings of respect and reverence. Consider hallowed, exalted, or be in awe of. How many people are revering our Heavenly Father today, according to that definition? How many? Not very many. Like Christ said in the scriptures, my flock is a tiny flock. The remnant is a tiny flock. You're part of a tiny flock. But wouldn't you rather be part of this tiny flock than to be out there with the normies and the zombies? The road to hell is wide and many travel thereon. They're on their way to the grave. They're on their way to the ash pit. There's stubble on this field that's going to be set on fire, according to Obadiah, and burnt up, turned to ash. And what's it say about Yahweh's remnant? Oh, that's right. They're going to walk on that ash, aren't they? We're still alive. We're still here. We're building, rebuilding. They'll be dead and gone and forgotten because they don't stand for anything. Normies and zombies don't stand for anything. And again, for our mothers out there, to me, every day is Mother's Day. Your job is that important. And the fact that our world is so dystopic today proves that when mothers stop doing their job, what happens to the following generation? And I hope you men are paying the hell of attention. All right? When you put women to work, I know a lot of you bastards out there. I've heard you talk. Well, yeah, I want my woman to work, you know, because we need that extra money, and because my F-150 is not enough. I need an F-250 truck. Yeah, you need another truck like you need another hole in your head, you asshole. No, you need mom to stay at home and raise the children and keep peace and order in the household and make sure they're monitored in their behavior. That's what they're supposed to be doing, not working so you have an extra income so you can get a bigger bass boat or you can afford to go to concerts. What the hell's wrong with you guys? When I was a boy, it was almost unheard of, a woman that was in a workplace. I had one aunt that went to work, but that's because her husband left her many years earlier, and that was the only way she could afford to raise her two children. My cousins. So it wasn't Aunt Zelda's fault. She did the best she could. She had no man to provide for her, and she never married again. But she was the only woman in our family that I can remember, the only woman that had a quote, job outside the house. Every other woman maintained the household. Because I got news for you guys. I live alone right now, and I'm going to tell you something. Doing all the work in a household is a full-time job, whether you know it or not. It's a full-time job. Food preparation, obtaining good food, which today means you better have a garden. If you want food you can trust, you better be growing it yourself. Or at the very least, you better know the person down the street that has the farm or the ranch where you're getting your food. If you don't, you're silly. You're truly putting your life in your own hands if you're going to the big box stores and trusting them these days. All right? So the woman's job is extremely time consuming. I remember when I was a boy, Mom used to say it, a woman's work is never done. From dawn till dusk, and sometimes even into the night, especially when the babies are little. A woman's work is never done. Doesn't mean she doesn't have some downtime. Doesn't mean she can't have some fun. It just means that she's on duty 24 hours a day, because that's what it takes to be a proper mom. That's why women today run from the job, because it's all about them today. They're narcissists. Well, I got to have a career. I don't want to be in there stuck with them kids making all that racket and noise. Oh, my God. And having to discipline them? Oh, woe is me. My life is so terrible. Well, look at this effed up world we live in today. That's what happens when moms go to work instead of staying home and doing what God intended them to do. And again, am I stepping on toes? I sure as hell hope so. I sure as hell hope so, because you know what? Some toes need to be stepped on. We've been dancing around the real issues for a long time in the name of political correctness. Come on, Dan, you can't talk about the race issue because you might offend some of these non-whites. Well, you know what? I'm over that. I don't really give a damn whether they're offended or not. Same thing with the women. Well, you know, Dan, we got the feminist movement. Women are now liberated. Yeah, they're liberated. Drunks, drug addicts, whores. Yep, they're liberated, all right. They're just like a lot of the men that are down there face down in the gutter. Okay, ladies, how's it feel to be face down in the gutter like all the douchebag men out there that aren't worth a damn? That's what you want to be equal to? Why don't you aspire to be what Yahweh made you for? Why don't you men aspire to be what Yahweh made you for? Warriors first, willing to defend what's right. The innocent. Okay, can everybody hear me now? Let me make sure that we're still good here. I apologize for that. It was a internet modem glitch. Been having that happen a lot lately, and sorry to hear that. Okay, Caucasian guy says here they have sound again. Very good. It's again, it's been happening quite a bit. I'll have to go back and edit the audio file for the archive, but I'm not sure why I pay a decent enough price for this damn service, and why it keeps doing that, I have no idea. So let me get back to where I was. Anyway, I was talking about the dictionary definition of drunk. Stupefied or excited by a chemical substance, especially alcohol. Number two, elated or emboldened as if under the influence of alcohol. That's drunkenness. Now, when I say they're all drunk, it's not necessarily alcohol that I'm talking about. As it says here, by a chemical substance. And then it dawned on me that endorphins are a neurochemical occurring naturally in the brain and having analgesic properties, meaning reducing pain. So what are our people doing? They're producing endorphins by whatever means possible, because they consider living painful, having to go to work painful, raising children painful, being parents painful. And so they're doing everything they can to reduce that pain. That's how the Jews got their way in. Okay? Here, let us make your life easier. Look, we have vacuum cleaners. We have this. We have that. That's how it started. And then it became, well, we've got all kinds of gadgets now to make your life easier, like you need it easier. Most of our people are 50 to 100 pounds overweight, so it looks to me like you need more work. Instead of bowing down to the Jew because they've made it possible to have these devices, why not do it a little harder work? What was wrong with the way we used to live when we were free men upon the land, when we worship the living God instead of worship the Jew and all of his little trinkets? Because we are drunk on the delicacies, as it says in Revelation. We are drunk on the delicacies of Babylon. And you look at our people and tell me they're not drunk. They are. They are just like drug addicts and alcoholics when it comes to electronics and technology. They literally are beside themselves if they can't get the latest technology. As soon as it comes out, as soon as it comes out. I'm looking at my queue here, so hold on just a second. I know too many people that have high IQs or higher than average, and yet they are like children when it comes to technology. They just can't get enough of it. And now we've gotten to the point where we worship. We give the reverence I spoke of earlier. We give the reverence to technology. And I've said for a long time, we've turned flat screens, it used to be televisions only, but now, of course, you got lots of flat screens with images controlled by the beast. We are worshiping, revering images controlled by the beast on flat screen devices, whether it's TVs, movie screens, cell phones, whatever. Oh, okay, very good. Thank you, Ella, for letting me know that. And again, I don't know why the internet does that. It's just the connection drops all on its own every now and then. It's very frustrating, especially when you pay for this damn service. We use the technology while it's here, but I won't miss it when it's gone. I really won't. And we get back to actually talking to each other face-to-face or on a hardwired device, etc. Get rid of all this wireless crap. Some technology is good to have, but again, it's like anything, like a weapon or anything else. It depends on how people use it. And do they use it responsibly? Did they do their due diligence in making sure it was safe, this technology we have? Has any of these automatons at the top, these elitists, have any of them actually proven that this wireless technology is safe? All this radiation, especially at the gigahertz level? Okay, gigahertz is very, very high speed, high frequency. Okay, much like microwave ovens, that's a very high frequency. That's why it's called micro, which is the Greek for very small, microwave, very small wave energy. Why do you think they worried so much about shielding microwaves when they first come out? I remember they used to have problems with some makes and models, leakage around the doors, and they were getting lawsuits because of damage. All right, now, why is it we can't put two and two together here? If microwave energy out of a microwave sitting in your kitchen is capable of doing harm, why is it you think low-level microwave 24 hours a day is not doing something harmful to you? It may not kill you outright, but as in the nuclear power industry, they used to teach us that radiation can cause damage. All radiation causes damage. The sun is radiation. Granite and other materials such as coal in the ground emit radiation. If you took a Geiger counter to a office building that had granite stonework somewhere in it, put the Geiger counter to it, it's going to peg. If you go to a big pile of coal at a coal-fired power plant, where they're burning coal to make electricity, put the Geiger counter in it, and it'll peg it. I know, because I've done it. I started out in fossil-fueled plants, and we took a Geiger counter and stuck it in there, and sure enough, it does emit radiation. All right, the sun, again, radiation. So all radiation causes damage. The point is that your body can handle a certain amount of that and repair itself. We were designed that way. It's when you overburden the body that the trouble comes in. Okay? Again, the body will handle almost any situation that occurs on earth until you have an excess of it. Just like it says in Scripture, all things in moderation. Imagine that. Alcohol, drugs, pleasurable things, all things in moderation, and certainly radiation and the things that cause radiation. We're surrounded by it today, and nobody's done a study, just like drugs. You assume that the pharmaceutical companies have made sure that they're safe. No, they haven't. And I'll tell you another thing they haven't done. They haven't tested any of the combinations of drugs. I had my daughter-in-law was seeing five different professionals at one point in her life for health issues. Five different professionals. Those five professionals had her on 14 different drugs. And not once did those so-called professionals ever check the other medications that she was on to see if they were safe to take in combination. Not once. And she nearly died. 30 years old and nearly died. Okay? So don't tell me these people care about us. No, they don't. They care about one thing only, making money, because that's the way people are today, because we are no longer Rhadamanthine men and women. We're not. We are materialistic, narcissistic robots, totally in love with the delicacies of Babylon, whether it's new cars, technology, fancy clothes, jewelry, vacations, cruises, you name it. The beast has plenty of delicacies to keep you high on them so that you don't ever repent and come back to our Creator Father. You have to willfully want to be right with the Father. You have to be able to overcome the delicacies, the temptations of the flesh. That's what these are. And they will destroy you. That's the sad part. You think by satisfying the lusts of the flesh that you'd be happy, but they're the most miserable people on earth. The happiest people I know are the poorest in the ways of the world. They're not entrapped with materialism. They don't worship money. They don't worship the delicacies, the technology, and all the baubles that Babylon dangles in front of them. They don't worship them. It doesn't mean that I walk everywhere. Yeah, I have an older automobile. In fact, it's a 2006. So what's that? 17 years old. Cost me almost nothing to operate it. And it's in very good shape. It was well taken care of. As the scripture says, be good stewards of the gifts that Father gives you. I've always been that way since I was a boy. If I was given something or I worked for it and I paid for it, I was a good steward. I learned how it worked. I took care to learn what the preventative maintenance items were, like in a car, changing the oil, changing the spark plugs, changing the spark plug wires, tuning it up every so many miles. I did those things. My cars lasted a long time. Today, people, well, I'll just lease it and turn it back in, or I'll run it to the ground and then 3 years later buy another one. And then you're constantly in debt, up to your eyeballs in debt. Who benefits? Qui bono? Who benefits from you constantly in debt? Your enemies. Proverbs chapter 23. A lot of wisdom in here, so I hope you'll bear with me. When you take your seat at the feast with a ruler, give thought with care to what is before you. In other words, when you're hanging around these people that are part of the cabal, be careful and put a knife to your throat. If you have a strong desire for food. Okay, now this is an analogy. In other words, you're at a feast being presented by the local county commissioners, mayor, governor, state representative. And it says, put a knife to your throat if, conditional, if you have a strong desire for food. In other words, your desire for the things that your enemy controls, i.e. money, that desire is the equivalent of putting a knife to your throat. We as a people, the white race, have a knife to our throat. And there's a Jewish hand wrapped around the handle of that knife. And we're too damn stupid to realize that that is giving the enemy power over us. When you worship their damn electronic shekels and the shekels that are that buy, the things that these shekels buy, when you worship those things, you desire those things, when you will sell your soul for those things, it's the equivalent of putting a knife to your throat. Verse 3, have no desire for his delicate food, for it is the bread of deceit. Thou shalt make war by deception, the motto of the Israeli Mossad. They are deceivers. Take no care to get wealth. Let there be an end to your desire for money. Wow. Right there in Proverbs, much wisdom in four little verses. You want to see what's wrong with the white race? Take a look at Proverbs 23. Are your eyes lifted up to it? It is gone. For wealth takes to itself wings like an eagle in flight up to heaven. Do not take the food of him who has an evil eye or have any desire for his delicate meat. Meaning, again, this is talking about a feast, so it's an allegory to all of the things we were talking about that this beast system presents to you, ladies and gentlemen, in order to get your eye off the goal, which is what? First of all, our racial family, to live in accordance with Yahweh's law, to love him above all things on this earth. That's what Scripture says. If you don't believe it, burn your Bible. Get rid of it. Stop pretending, will you? For as the thoughts of his heart are, so is he. Another way of saying that, as you think, so you are. For as the thoughts of your heart, so is he. Take food and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Yeah, that's your elitist, your members of the cabal that run this show. The food which you have taken will come up again, meaning you're going to vomit it up because it's so unpleasant, and your pleasing words will be wasted. Say nothing in the hearing of a foolish man, for he will put no value on the wisdom of your words. That's right. Trying to convince a fool of anything just makes you more silly than the fool himself. Okay? You can't convince ignorant people of anything. Do not let the landmark of the widow be moved, and do not go into the fields of those who have no father. So again, the proverb is telling us to what? To protect the widows and orphans. That's our job, men. The widows and orphans. They don't have anybody in their corner. It's up to us men, the warriors of our men. For their Savior is strong, and he will take up their cause against you. Give your heart to teaching and your ears to the words of knowledge or truth. Seek ye first what? Truth, truth, truth. Do not keep back training from a child, for even if you give him blows with the rod, it will not be death to him. In other words, don't be afraid to give a child corporal punishment. Put the rod to his ass when he misbehaves, all right? It's not death to him. Yeah, they're going to scream like it is, and you're going to have some woke neighbor bitch and moan or some Karen out there, but that's all part of the ruse of the evil ones to stop you from disciplining the child. Verse 14, give him blows with the rod, and keep his soul safe from the underworld, the world of the Jew. My son, if your heart becomes wise, I, even I, will be glad in heart. And my thoughts in me will be full of joy when your lips say right things. Yeah, the Father's very proud of us when we do the right things and say the right things. Have no envy of sinners. Sinners are who? Those who transgress Yahweh's law. Have no envy of sinners in your heart, but keep in the fear or reverence of Yahweh all through the day. For without doubt there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Again, there's a condition for this. You know, your hope won't be cut off. Well, whose? Everybody's? No. Those who listen and obey. Give ear, my son, and be wise, guiding your heart in the right way. Do not be among those who give themselves to wine drinking or drunkenness, or among those who make themselves full of meat, gluttonous. Remember, gluttony isn't just for food. Gluttony is desiring anything that's not healthy for you. For those who take delight in drink and feasting will come to be in need. And through love of sleep, a man will be poorly clothed. Give ear to your father, whose child you are, and do not keep honor from your mother when she is old. Get for yourself that which is true, and do not let it go for money. Get wisdom and teaching and good sense. The father of the upright man will be glad, and he who has a wise child will have joy because of him. Amen. There aren't too many of them out there. I can tell you that much. Let your father and your mother be glad. Let her who gave you birth have joy. I'm going to tell you, parents, all kind of parents I talked to today are having trouble with relationships everywhere, almost without exception. That's the day we live in. My son, give me your heart. And let your eyes take light in my ways. This is Yahweh talking to you and I, folks. Take delight in my ways. For a loose woman or a harlot is a deep hollow, and a strange woman is a narrow water hole. Telling you to stay away from whores and non-white women. Yes, she is waiting secretly like a beast for its food, and deceit by her is increased among men. Yeah. Who says, oh? Who says, ah? Who has violent arguments? Who has grief? Who has wounds without cause? Whose eyes are dark? Those who are seated late over the wine. Those who go looking for mixed wine. Again, drunkenness. Drunkenness, meaning loss of common sense because of your desires of the things of this world. Keep your eyes from looking on the wine when it is red, when its color is bright in the cup, when it goes smoothly down. In the end, its bite is like that of a snake, its wound like the wound of a poisonous snake. Your eyes will see strange things. And you will say twisted things. Yeah, again, describing what? Drunkenness. Yes, you will be like him who takes his rest on the sea or on the top of a sail support. And that's dizziness, of course. If you've ever been on a sailboat, you know what he's talking about. They have overcome me, you will say, and I have no pain. They gave me blows without my feeling them. When will I be awake from my wine? I will go after it again. Again, just descriptions of drunkenness. Remember, I did the dictionary definition, talked about chemicals that do what? Reduce pain. The pain of living. The pain of living. The pain of being responsible for being adults. We're going to get to some verses here to tell us the way we should be. And I'm going to tell you, aren't too many of our folks are going to meet these qualifications. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 21, he lists some of the things that our father hates. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh God. Okay? You got lots of people out there just in that little short list, that covers a lot of ground. Ephesians 5, verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of what? Oh, our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, separated spirit. Separated from what? Separated from this sick, demented world we live in. Don't you feel like you don't belong? Yeah, I do. Keep in step with the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, starting at 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, that you may not do the things that you desire. The Spirit, in other words, is a check and balance. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, because the law is on your hearts and you have no desire to break it. That's why. Now the deeds of the flesh are obvious, which are adultery, that's race mixing, sexual immorality, that's called being a whore, both male and female, uncleanness, lustfulness, idolatry. We talked about all the idols our people have today. Sorcery. Sorcery is also word magic, where they change words. Look what they're doing to the English language today. You can't use woman and man. They, them. What the hell? Hatred, strife, jealousies. You know, this is one that we don't talk about all that much, but it's something that drives me absolutely crazy, is the jealousies of our people. It just tears me up when I see jealousy take over rational thinking, or even having empathy for the condition of our people. Instead, jealousy takes over. Outbursts of anger, rivalries, divisions, heresies, envy, murders. Remember, murder is taking innocent blood. Drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, even as I also forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit Yahweh's kingdom. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, boy, our people lack that one, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and, here we go, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Yeshua have crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. If we live by the Spirit, let's walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Wow. I got this letter from a brother named Dale out in Utah, and I thought it was appropriate, so it's a short letter. We'll just read it here real quick. I spent about 12 years, with occasional interruptions, trying to bring this exact message to the Salt Lake City audience of K-Talk Radio, a 5,000-watt licensed AM talk station here in Utah's capital. It was an unforgettable lesson regarding the opacity of mind endemic to most whites. Okay, basically seared consciences of most whites. I was loved by a certain minority of listeners, but hated by many more as a Nazi or whatever. The, quote, conservative hosts on the station, my so-called colleagues, often set aside their day's show prep and devoted their airtime entirely to contravailing and ridiculing the content of my program, as well as me personally, doing their damnedest to incite hatred for my message and me. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? In the end, This experience made me ask the question, if whites cannot, by now, in this late stage of their scientifically devised expungement from this world, connect their unremitting vilification in every form of media with the ethnicity that has sole ownership of that media, talking about Jews, how can we help them? Whites are just highly programmable, and white women triply so. Again, we talk about the Garden of Eden. When did Eve get in trouble? When Adam walked away. Symbolically, when the white man is not in authority over the white woman, she is subject to beguilement by the wicked ones. Take a look at the world around you and tell me that isn't true, okay? Now, the evil ones convinced women that you don't want men to be over you. You need to be, quote, independent. Well, if you're one of Satan's kids, the adversaries, if you're one of the adversaries and you want our women to get into pornography, drugs, whoredom, race mixing, and all the rest, isn't it beneficial for you to convince them to get away from Adam? Because Adam's going to say no. Adam's going to take a sword and slice that guy right in half, just like he deserves. Mm-hmm. The little serpent, Nakash. Just like a snake. That's why Nakash. That's why the Hebrews gave it that word. Nakash. Serpent whispering in the ear of our Eves. Shh. You don't need Adam. You don't need the approval of some man. Why? You're not going to let them rule over you, are you? You need to get a job because you don't want to work for that man at home. But, of course, you're working for the Jew down at the corporate office. Yeah, aren't you? Many of us, oddly awake, whites, will continue to resist despite the legions of our own race piling on to cheer and abet their own genocide. But secretly, many of us see this fight as over before it begins. Determined by the Ashkenazi overthrow of our youth minds over the past four or five generations. Ashkenazi, of course, talking about the Zionist Jews. Just saying, if we're collectively headed for the guillotine, as a lot of us barstool analysts can see, plain as day, denial isn't a plan of action or a force multiplier. Again, that was a personal note from Dale out in Utah. And again, I picked Dale's, but I could have picked a whole bunch of other mail that I get from our folks because that's the exasperation that we feel. Yeah, Caucasian guy says here the word sorcery is also linked with pharmakia. But sorcery, pharmakia is drugs used in black magic. Pharmakia. That's why the pharmacy has that name. It's telling you drugs used in sorcery or black magic. All right. But there's also word sorcery. And Jews are absolutely phenomenal at word sorcery. They know how to do it. They just, again, nothing new under the sun. They've been doing it to us since the Garden of Eden. Wasn't that word sorcery that he used on Eve in the garden? Of course it was. Isn't it word sorcery what the Jews through the media and the movies is doing with our women today? Of course it is. There is no difference. Nothing new under the sun. No. The same tried and true method to get our women to rebel against our men, and our men did not have enough testosterone to stop it. Our men got bought off by the wiles of the wicked ones. They dangled dollars in front of them. They dangled toys and gadgets and baubles and cars and sports and alcohol and drugs and scantily clad women, everything to take our men and turn them into these little pussies that walk around today. Excuse my French, but that's just the way it is. These guys that have the male equipment, but they're not men. They're not the men of old, that's for sure. The men of old wouldn't have cared one bit about their paychecks, their pensions, their houses, or anything when it comes to deciding what's right and wrong. No, you don't get that privilege. Okay? Just like General Stonewall Jackson said so long ago, duty is ours, meaning us men, duty. But you could say by implication, women as well. But duty is ours, meaning the men. Duty. Duty. Look up the word duty and what it means. Duty is ours. The consequences belong to Yahweh God. In other words, you don't worry about the consequences of doing right or wrong. You worry about doing what's right, irregardless of the consequences. And sometimes I like to use an anecdote from my own life's experience. 23 and a half years ago, when I went to start this radio program, I was warned not to do it. Many of my friends, many of my family said, they'll kill you. They'll do this to you. They'll do that to you. I remember when my mom said it to me, and I asked her, I said, Mom, what would you have told the boys at Valley Forge? Would you have told them to go home? Because it might cost them their life? I'm just asking. She didn't know what to say. What would you have told King Leonidas and the 300 Spartans and the 7,000 hoplites of ancient Greece when they stood against the Persians? Would you have told them to go home? No, that's right. There are sometimes consequences that we don't like for doing righteous acts, but that doesn't take away the requirement for our men to be righteous, to be radamanthine. Radamanthine. Strictly and uncompromisingly just. Radamanthine warriors. For the Ezekiel 37 army. That's what Yahweh's looking for. Where are my Radamanthine warriors that the Jew has no influence over? Because all the Jew has is the enticements of the flesh. That's it. They don't have the moral high ground. They're immoral. They don't have the intellectual high ground because we are way above them in that way. Oh, no, Dan, they're very smart. No, they're not. They're cunning. They're not that smart. And they sure as hell are not creative. Oh, come on, Dan, look at the artists and stuff. Yeah, that's because the Jew media puts these sick, demented artists and so-called musicians and stuff in front of your face. That doesn't mean they're actually talented and good. They're not. Look at some of their art. It's pathetic. Looks like a three-year-old child put it together. Come on. If they were that smart and that creative, why would they have to steal from everybody else? Come on. Think about it. They're not. So they don't have any attributes to win you over that are of value. None. The only thing they have is to take advantage of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. And in that regard, they are highly successful. And because of their cunning and their ruthlessness, very rich and powerful from it. It's not because they're better people, smarter, wiser, better with money. That's bullshit. They're cunning. And one thing that they have that the white race has lost, they stick together. Even when they don't like each other, they will take sides over a non-Jew almost every time. White people are just the opposite. We can't wait to stick a knife in another white person's back. Okay? Tell me it isn't true. We spend more time bitching and moaning with each other and finding reasons not to fellowship than we do to amend the fences that we broke so that we can be brothers and sisters and come through this fire. We'd much rather spend our time and our energy finding reasons to hate each other. And I'm not saying that we have to accept those who are obviously reprobates out there. Okay? No, we don't. But at the same time, we don't have to keep every little slight or offense locked away so we can pull it out and use it when we want to bash people. All right? Yeah, I see Jonathan and David here. He's got Nakash, which is the Hebrew 5175. We're getting late in the show, or I'd pull my lexicon down and we could read it. But yeah, he's a seducer, an enchanter is what I like to do. A seducer and an enchanter. And you look at the Jews today, and that's exactly what they are. Shh, Nakash. Always wanting to speak those words to get you worked up. Look at the commercials and ads today, all driven by emotionalism, not logic. It's like I was telling my son, he's trying to start a business, and he was talking about how much money he should spend for advertising. I said, don't spend any money for advertising. Well, how am I going to make it? I said, make it the way our ancestors made it, with honor. Let your deeds advertise for you. Word of mouth. I remember reading an article a long time ago. In old England, it was considered distasteful to advertise. Back when white men had actual integrity, it was distasteful. You would shun a business or a merchant who advertised because advertisements mean that you don't know what you're doing or that your products are inferior. Why else would you have to advertise? And you look at the Jews, who are the premier advocates for advertising. All right? We have the best laundry detergent. Based on what? This toothpaste is the best for, based on what? Well, how come this Jew over here who's selling this drug says this Jew over here, his drugs for you are better than this Jew's drugs? And this Jew says, my drugs are better than these drugs. Whereas a white man with integrity says, I'm not going to advertise. My satisfied customers will advertise for me. And so that was my advice to my son. As my grandfather told me when I was a boy, show up for the job with a good attitude. Be armed with rational thinking, level-headedness, and skills, and just work to the best of your ability so that you can go home and lay your head down on your pillow and sleep well that night, that you did the best you could. You were honest. You were on time. You were professional. You were clean-cut. You were respectful of people's property. Those things speak volumes, especially today. Let people do your advertising for you. I'm going to tell you, I much prefer, when I'm looking for a vendor or for a service, I much prefer hearing from somebody who recommends that than reading an advertisement. Advertising is a creation of the Jew, just as psychiatry and psychology are of Jews. We don't need those things. When you're guided by the Spirit, you don't need that. Even Freud himself, a Jew, stated that he started psychiatry to help mentally ill Jews because they have mental illnesses. They know it. But we fall into the trap, just like marriage licenses were for interracial marriage. That's where they started. A marriage license was permission to interracially marry. And now we all think we have to have permission from the state for a white person to marry a white person. Give me a break. People have lost the ability to think for themselves, to reason things out. The woman who fears Yahweh, Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. This is the one that I've used for a long, long time. When you want to talk about a biblical woman, this is the best description I've ever read anyway. This is the wife, the woman that is sought after by a real man of Yahweh. Starting at verse 10, an excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels, or money, if you will. The heart of her husband trusts in her. Woo. Don't have that much anymore. And he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. That doesn't mean like countries away. It's just out in the garden or the vineyard or whatever. She rises while it is yet night, that's before dawn, and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. That means she's got oil in it. She thinks ahead, makes provisions. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. In other words, she has charity, empathy for those less fortunate. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. That's a quote, meaning her husband saying that. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears or reveres Yahweh is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Meaning, let the neighborhood talk well of her. Her reputation precedes her. Right? Just checking to make sure I still have an internet connection. All right. Well, that's pretty much everything I wanted to talk about today, so I'm going to open it up for an open forum session in case anybody's got anything. So if you would, use the ask question on your phones or on your computers if you want to make a statement or give some information, encouragement, a testimony, anything along that nature for our brothers and sisters out there. Now's the time to do it. If not, that's fine. We can save it for Wednesday night or another time. But let's see here. I don't questions? Nobody. All right. Everybody's satisfied then. So we'll close. And again, we honor today and all days our beloved mothers out there, especially those who take it seriously, because so few do today. But it's also a time for the men to be admonished to get ready for what's coming. Sharpen your swords, prepare yourself physically, mentally, and spiritually for the battle that is approaching. This will be a battle for defense, not offense. Babylon's going to burn with or without us. You can't violate Yahweh's law and not suffer the consequences. That's just impossible. So it's going to burn to the ground. Our job is not to have it take us down with them. Get away from the ship. For those who have been sailors or have done much travel on oceans, you know that when a large vessel sinks, it pulls a vacuum behind it. It will literally suck you right down with it. That's why you always see people on ships that are heavily damaged, like in wartime, etc., that they have a big gaping hole in the side, and you can tell the ship is going to sink. People get in rowboats and swim as fast as they can to get as far away as they can, because that vessel will pull you right down with it. And that's what this is talking about. When Babylon burns like a sinking ship, we must always get away from it. Always get away from it. All right? We're not told to save it. We're told to expose it, resist it, protect ourselves, and come out on the other side. Be overcomers, right? Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share this beautiful day. We know there's a lot of ugliness in this world right now, Father. And we just pray that we, your servants, your children, can be the shining lights in this world of darkness. Can we be the beacon for our people, the standard that you referred to? Raise a standard for my people, Jacob, Israel, in this sick, demented, upside-down world that we find ourselves. Help us to reach that goal, Father, to be that standard that sticks out far and above the surrounding people. Because we revere you, and we strive to obey you, to obey your law, your reasoning, the laws of nature, all the things that are in this world of a natural origin, which is of you, where the world of men is unnatural, completely upside down. Forgive us our sins, our shortcomings, and help us to look to each other as members of a family, that we need to forgive 70 times 7. We need to overlook a slap across the cheek. Slight offenses should not trigger us. And even when we do get triggered, let that anger subside quickly so that we can rekindle as brothers and sisters. To that end, again, Father Yahweh, we ask that you guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And always, Father Yahweh, protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's precious name, we do pray. Hallelujah.